Joy. What a joy to be gathered here. Thank you so much, Brother Allen, for all that was said. It was just very refreshing to my heart and spirit, and made me cry out to the Lord for his help to continue to be more like Christ in every way. Much need in my life in those ways. I just so appreciate what was said about character. It is very important. If we can, this morning, I think it'd be good if we would just stand here for a word of prayer. Our gracious, good Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of opening your word and you being our teacher. We ask that you would continue this, Father, that you would lead us, Lord Jesus, that you would open our understanding, that you would help us understand what it is that you want from all of our lives. Lord, that you would lead us to united hearts as we seek to add to the ministering body here, to the servant body. Lord, that there would be a unity and a oneness, that you would lay a couple of brothers on our hearts that you have chosen to serve in your kingdom, to serve in this way. Father, none of us are worthy. We look to you. Thank you. In your glorious name, we're looking to you. We pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm especially grateful to our great Lord and Savior. Again, for all that was said here, I just so appreciated it. But I did want to, I'm very thankful for the deacon that we do have, if I can say that. I feel like he has made a difference to us as a brotherhood. And I think he's been a faithful deacon. And I'm just thankful, if I can say that, to God, for his heart and life. And may God add more deacons. So this morning, if we can, I'm just thankful that Alan shared on the qualifications. In my mind, the qualifications are more important than what I have to share. But the heart here is twofold, that we consider what it is that qualifies someone to serve in this way. And then hopefully as we discuss the role or the responsibilities or the things that a deacon is called to possibly do, that those two things together will help you find God's peace in your heart for who it is that God may be calling to serve as a deacon. So if you would pray for me, that would be a blessing, that some of that would come clear. So if we can turn our thoughts heavenward, and we can for a moment consider the throne of God and be reminded that it is just the glory that emanates from God, that is the light in the presence of heaven. It's the glory of God. The glory, when you look up the word glory, it's really hard to define, but it's just that which emanates from a being that is so holy and so righteous. The being that God is just what this English word that they use to try to identify what it is that emanates from the character of such a being. And then we have Christ that was there for all eternity and all past eternity, that gave himself up to come to earth. And Matthew 20:28 tells us why he came. And I believe as we read this scripture, we'll have a good foundation for the office of a deacon or the role of a deacon. And we'll talk more about that. But let me just read this scripture. It says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So this word minister is a word that closely ties into this Greek word diakonos. Diakonos is used in the New Testament at least close to 30 times itself. That it's the Strong's 12:29 or 49. I don't even write the number down. But this word minister here is 12:47. So it's tied right in. It references 12:49 in the Strong Concordance. So if we can picture Christ leaving the glory, that stuff that emanates from God's character, and no pain, no suffering, no sin, no death, no fear, all of that, if we can picture him leaving that, and he came to be a deacon to all of humanity. And I believe here we start seeing the foundation that God has for a deacon. And then we go further, and how did we see how Christ related to God? As we go to John 8:20, I'll turn to the Gospel of John here in chapter 8, and we'll read. I think we'll just read 26 through 29. It says here, "I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." So here we already start seeing the role that Jesus played, as he was a diakonos. As he left heaven and came to earth to be a diakonos, here we see him defining his own role. He says, "I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." And the him is God. "And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Here we continue to define the foundational truths of a diakonos, which is the Greek word for a deacon. This Greek word is used in several different ways in the New Testament, but it's a blessing. And so we have Christ left the glories of heaven, came to earth to be a diakonos to all of humanity. And then at the end of his life, he has a burden. How will this, all of these responsibilities that he had as a diakonos, what will become of them? What will become of them? So we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10, and let's read a scripture there. And this is just one for the sake of time. There's many other scriptures we could have turned to, showing how Christ took the responsibilities as a diakonos, that those responsibilities that he had as a diakonos, he then transfers them to the disciples, and they are called to take on these responsibilities. So we'll just read Acts chapter 10, verse 38 here. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." I apologize. Let me back up a little. I wanted this scripture here that I just read to describe much of what Jesus did as a diakonos while he was here on earth. It says here, "How God anointed..." Let's just read verse 37. "That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which Jesus preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Again, this is one scripture, and there's more that could tell us to help define the first scripture we read, how that Christ came to earth to be a minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is another verse that is proof that Christ was faithful in what he came to do. He was a faithful minister. He was faithful in giving his life a ransom. So as we then move on to Acts 1:8, this is a scripture that I wanted to share, how Christ then commissions and empowers his disciple to continue his ministry to spread the gospel. So let's just read it here. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So the purpose of Christ leaving glory, coming to earth to be a diakonos, was to give his life a ransom for many, the hurting, to heal all of this. And it was important as Christ was getting ready to leave this earth that this ministry continue. And so this is the foundation for the role that we want to talk about today, the important role of a deacon. We see the foundation of it in the life of Christ as he left glory, as he came to earth. I would like to also quickly read John 15:16. I put that reference in here, and I'm not remembering exactly. I don't have it memorized. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. He's teaching his disciples this. And I think it's for me and you. And I think it's important that we as a church consider this. He says, I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Christ wants more from us than us just coming here every Sunday and warming up these chairs for a couple hours every Sunday. I believe it's important that we as a brotherhood consider the fruit that Christ and God want us to bring forth, not just in our own lives individually, but as a brotherhood. Because it is true that every day God leaves people, and every day God leaves churches. And if we're not going to bring if we're not going to produce the fruit, or bring forth the fruit that God has ordained us to bring forth, then God will find a brotherhood. He'll find another people that will be faithful to do those things that he wants. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. I just feel like it's important that we consider that as we consider the role of a deacon. And as we keep building on this foundation, it says, ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So we have two aspects. We want to talk about all of the words in the title here in a little bit. But we basically have the office and the responsibilities of a deacon that we want to consider, trusting that God will continue to give you peace in your heart. Who are the brothers that God is calling to serve in this way, along with the qualifications that we've already heard? Now, the office and the role of a deacon are gifts from God. I think the Bible makes it clear. We could turn to 1 Corinthians 12:28 and to different places. We can see that God gives the gifts that are in the body, those skilled in administration. And lest I forget to say this, I do think that administration and practical ways is something that you could also consider in a way as you prayerfully pray to God for a deacon. A deacon is someone that needs to have a mind that is organized, that thinks ahead, and has some administrative skills. So we have the word important in our title here, the important role of a deacon. So I'm just going to say weighty. It's a weighty role. Polycarp said, it is impossible to continue the ministry of Jesus without the offices of bishops and deacons. The early church fathers believed it was impossible. So Christ's part is Christ gave the church, he equipped us with everything that we need so that his ministry can continue in his absence. And never will we do it as well as he did. It's humbling to think about what all Christ did as he was God and man. And here we are, many of us men together, and we don't even get close to accomplishing what Christ did. May God help us. We'll never be able to feel like we've accomplished anything when we examine ourselves in the light of his life and the way he taught, the words he taught, and the life he lived, and the things he accomplished while he was here. But it is the important office of a deacon. The elders in the church need this office to be strong and healthy. Truly, it hinders. We carry the burden of the church every day. We carry a burden for those that are not thriving spiritually. As overseers, we carry the burden for where the church is going to be in 10 years. We carry the burden for those that are not right with God, those that have not yet lived their, give their life to God, and it's a burden that never leaves. It's not like we get up one day and can just go to some other world and those burdens are not there. But when you add yet the physical well-being, the monetary things, all of the things that deacons look after, you add that yet to the spiritual burden of the church, and it's a great burden. It's a hindrance. So we should not look at this, which is the more important office. That is not what this message is about. It is how that the office of a deacon can help further the ministry of Jesus Christ. That is what God wants us to be able to do as a ministry team and as a brotherhood. That the ministry of Christ not lack, that the ministry of Christ not suffer, that there's not souls in our community that are not reached because of our lack of any of these offices, or our lack of character, our lack of qualification in all of these ways. So this is a very, very, very important office. And we don't do well when in our minds we decide which is more important, the office of an overseer or the office of a deacon. That is not really healthy, I don't believe. They're both two different responsibilities, and they're both very, very important. One of the early church fathers said, "Deacons are the eyes and ears of the overseers." So as we can just move on, deacon, from the Greek word diakonos, a servant who attends his master, waits on him at table, and is always near his person to obey his orders. This is, we're continuing to want to define the role of a deacon. So the word role, the word role here, is a function or part performed especially in a particular operation or process. And I'm not sure which dictionary that definition comes from. But a role is a characteristic function and contribution of the individual, as well as expected behavior and position defined by the group for the individual. So that's another definition that comes from a different dictionary, and I don't know which one. But that describes what I meant when I used the word in the title. Is it's how many of you have been asked, how many of you have been commissioned to go do something, but there was no instruction given, and you were kind of left not knowing what was expected of you. Can I see a raise of hands? Has that ever happened to you? Well, I faced that so much in the ministry as a young minister. I was put in the ministry, but my responsibilities, my role, what I was to do and not to do, it seemed like there was so little direction. You know, I don't want to be doing something that I don't need to be doing, but I also don't want to stand before God someday and have God holding me account for something that I should have been doing. To me, that's I don't want to stand before God someday and have to give an account for responsibilities that I wasn't doing that I should have been. And I have much to learn in those ways. But again, role. May this help define. May this help you find God's will. May this help you lead to the peace that God has for you. A role is the characteristic function and contribution of the individual, as well as the expected behavior and position defined by the group for the individual. So in some ways, we want to do some of that today, even though it's not all going to... So we're not. I'm not going to be up here and I'm going to say, okay, these two deacons, they're going to start a jail ministry. They're going to feed the hungry. They're going to do this. There's some of that I trust will happen. They're going to line up singing in the community. They're going to do some discipleship. They're going to, you know, I'm not going to get that practical today probably, but yet there's a role. There's a role that we as a brotherhood want these deacons, we want them to understand what their role is. And if we help define some of that role today, I trust it'll help you as you seek God here in the next few days. Another definition for deaconos: a servant who attends his master, waits on him at table, and is always near his person to obey his orders. So we see that in Christ, don't we? Do we see Christ that he came, he attended his master, which was God, he served humanity, you could say he waited on tables, and he was always close to God to obey God's orders. And this very role is passed on down to the office of a deacon. That is his role. The office and ministry of a deacon. The office of a deacon is a critical part of the church's structure and leadership. The Bible and history teach the importance of a deacon's service, of assisting the elders in their spiritual oversight. So to understand how the deacon office is to function in the brotherhood, I just want to say that the early church would say the role of a deacon is to ensure that the ministry of Jesus Christ is pursued through the assistance given to the overseer. This is kind of several different early church fathers and what they wrote about the office of a deacon, maybe put in one sentence. But the main concern, the main role, the main responsibility of a deacon is to ensure that the ministry of Jesus Christ is furthered through their assistance to the overseers. Does that make sense? So a deacon's main responsibility, the main goal is that the ministry of Jesus Christ is furthered or is pursued, and the way a deacon does that is by giving assistance to the overseers. Maybe it'll strengthen us to see the role of a deacon in the first century. If I can just read a couple quotes here, time is moving. Ignatius, in his letter to Magnesians, provides some insight to the role of a deacon as practiced in the late first century and early second century. So I do want to say this isn't in the Bible. But history has clearly, I'm clearly convinced as I have read history some, that more than us in the Western, more than us over here in the Western church, the early church was focused on the deposit, the faith that was given to them. Jude writes about this faith that was once delivered to the saints. Their focus was on receiving this deposit of faith exactly the way it was and passing it on to the next generation without it being changed at all. As this deposit was in their possession, they were very concerned that they didn't pass it, that they didn't change it or manipulate it or do anything with it, but that it was passed on to the next generation the way that they received it. So it is with that confidence that we can at least glean some of how they used deacons here, how they looked at them. Even though this isn't the Word of God, we know that they were not trying to just manipulate or bring change for no reason. So this is a letter he wrote. Therefore, since I have been considered worthy to see you through Demas, your godly bishop, and through your worthy presbyters, Bassus and Apollonius, and my fellow slave, the deacon Zosian, who I would enjoy because he is subject to the bishop as to the grace of God, and to the council of elders as to the law of Christ. This was what Ignatius wrote. The role of a deacon is one that serves the overseer and the ministry. At least in Ignatius' time, it was this way. Deacons serve in the role of assistant to those in leadership positions. This is what he writes further in the same letter. Therefore, since I have by faith seen and loved in the people mentioned above, the whole congregation, I urge you, be eager to do everything in the harmony of God. The bishop presiding in the place of God, and the presbyters in the place of the council of the apostles, and the deacons who to me are especially dear, entrusted with the ministry of Jesus Christ, who before the ages was with the Father and was revealed at the end. Here again, Ignatius notes that the deacons have been entrusted with the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is the deacon's burden, it is their responsibility to see that this ministry of Jesus Christ, the physical part of it, and helping with the spiritual as they can, to see that it grows, that it goes out, that it multiplies, and that it continues to be propagated throughout the community first, and then the rest of the world. It seems to me that the deacon has additional responsibility to ensure that the ministry of Jesus Christ is pursued through assistance given to the overseers. Another definition for deacon: a leadership role in the church that is oriented around service to those in need. The ministry of Jesus Christ being pursued through assistance given to the overseers. So here we have in Philippians 1:1, we have Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So if I remember right, around 29 times we read of the deacon in the early church fathers' writings. And almost always, except maybe one time, they're in this order. It says the bishops and deacons, or the overseers and the deacons. And again, back to which is more important. I don't think that we need to go there and decide, okay, the elders' responsibilities are more important or whether the deacons are. But what history is teaching us is that the office of a deacon is an office of assisting the elders and helping the ministry of Jesus Christ to be successful, to go forward. It's an office of attending. It's an office of serving, so that this can happen. This is communicating that the office of a deacon is an office of assistance to the overseers. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, we have this word governments in the King James. Some of the other translations translated as administration. But God has appointed this in the church for his own use. Gifts of administration, I think, is something we could consider about. Something we could consider, if I can say it rightly here. Those with ability to help, those skilled in administration. The word administration, you could say it's the conduct of affairs. It's someone that has a vision and the gifts to communicate and administrate and make things happen. Again, the New Testament term, I want to look at it here, deaconos, I didn't pronounce it quite right that time. It's a verb. It derives from a verb meaning to wait at table, to serve, as the Son of Man Jesus did. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We see this word in Matthew 8:15, where the deaconess gives hospitality. I'm not sure if I'm going to read all these scriptures. In Acts 6:1, this deacon distributes food. As Alan kind of pointed that word out in Acts 6:1, there's he read through it. In John 12:2, this deaconess, this Greek word sets a table. It says, they made him a supper, and Mary and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So we're in a different aspect of, so we've talked about the office of a deacon and how it should function within the rest of the ministry. And now we're going on to some of the practical roles and responsibility that these deacons might play. So we see in Scripture that they distributed food. And John, they set a table. And in 1 Timothy 3:10, we see a deacon doing the work of a deacon. It says, let these also be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. So the deacon also exercises spiritual gifts. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If I'm remembering right, this word minister here is also the word deacon. So it's not limited to just practical things. It can also be, as the giftings are, this deacon can teach. This deacon can be involved in the spiritual side of the ministry as well. I think we see that word used that way here in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the idea of serving at table is expanded to encompass the service of the saints. This concept of a deacon attending the overseers is, in many ways, expanded to encompass the service of the brotherhood, the service of the saints. Praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, 2 Corinthians 8:4 says. Paul, we think of Paul when he was worried about the collection of money for the church in Jerusalem. It was a service. We read about it in 2 Corinthians 9:11 and 12. I'll just read it here. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by the many thanksgiving. We see this gift here, collecting money in the church there in Corinthians. The words servant, service, and serve in various forms are over 1,100 times in the New International Version. Deacons are servants of other human beings as a worthy service to God. They serve other human beings, and they do it for the sake of God and the sake of Christ, so that the ministry of Christ may continue to be moved forward. In the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew word ebed that would almost cross over to our Greek word for servant. And it contains at least two key ingredients. In the Old Testament, there's action, the servant as a worker, and obedience. And these are throughout the Old Testament. Many in the Old Testament are called servants, among them Abraham, Jacob, Joshua, Ruth, Hannah, Samuel, Jesse, Uriah the Hittite, Joab, Isaiah, Daniel, Ben-Hadad, and Nebuchadnezzar. Moses is designated such as about 40 times. Moses is called a servant, and David more than 50 times is called a servant in the Old Testament with this Hebrew word. In the New Testament, doulos is frequently used to designate a master's slave, one bound to him. Doulos. No, doulos. I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's doulos. But also a follower of Christ, a bond slave of Christ. The Greek word means a relation of absolute dependence in which the master and the servant stand on opposite sides. The master's on one side, the servant's on the other side. The former having a full claim, the latter having a full commitment. So the master has full claim over the servant, but the servant is fully committed to the master. It's just beautiful as you think about that picture. Not sure if that's making sense. Is that coming across okay? We should probably move on towards the Greek word means a relation of absolute dependence in which the master and the servant. Okay, I shared that. The servant can exercise no will or initiative on his or her own. See, and we see that in the life of Christ. It's just beautiful. Christ took upon himself the form of his servant in Philippians 2. And since Christ took upon himself the form of a servant, we have moved from being slaves to sin to being slaves of righteousness. You can read that in Romans chapter 6. Deacons are involved in a large degree in the leadership of the fellowship. It is important that we be stringent in our selection of them. The qualifications that were shared this morning. It is important that we embrace them and consider them. It really is. That the home is in order, and I just appreciated what was said. Paul gives a lot of criteria to guide the selection of deacons. And he begins with, as Alan shared, I just shared what Alan said about being dignified. They must be dignified. The word translated dignified in the Greek word, it's the Greek word, I could write it up here, semenos, which means worthy of respect or dignified or perhaps even noble. The word noble comes in as we think of this definition. Paul uses this term to describe older men and the fellowship in his epistle to Titus. He says, older men are to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith and in love and endurance. I was also just, we could talk some about the practical serving and how it brings a clear foundation of faith. Maybe I'll close with that later here. So we have quite a bit more that we could cover here that would be good. Thought about all the times that I had the privilege of serving my uncle as a tender, and I was stretched to the core. There was times there was a few jobs where there were several people that were laying either brick or block, and I was the one mixing the mortar, getting the mortar to them, keeping the brick or the block to them, pointing the block and the brick, and cutting them so that they had the right pieces they cut, and all they did is just laid them up. And it was good for me in my life. But it's just a picture that we have here is there was my uncle and another man or so, and they were tasked with laying up this wall. And they were the ones that got all the credit for laying up the wall. And it was good that they did, but when the mud wasn't mixed right, he would let me know. If something wasn't cut to the right length, I would know. If the mortar got too hard before I pointed it and made it look nice, he let me know. And if they ran out of anything, he would let me know. And it's just the privilege of serving. It was so good for me in that day. And we could share more on that. The office of a deacon is an office of attendance, one who voluntarily performs acts of service. Financially, so by helping them financially. I would say this yet. To the Greeks, service was unseemly. It was degrading and demeaning, undignified. To the Greeks, only when it benefited them did service have any value. But that's the complete opposite of Christ. That's literally the foundation of what made Christ who he was, is because he came as a servant, a slave. To the Greeks, if it didn't benefit them, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. The prevailing thought that we are made to receive is the first and foremost thing that comes from our human nature. But we were created to serve as we go deeper. The Bible promotes the principle of self-sacrificial service over and over. My motive for service, to find acceptance, to gain favor, the favor of others, many motives. But God and His people are worthy of sacrificial service. A service given wanting no merit in return. Wanting nothing in return. God help us. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as one that serveth. The obvious answer is the wrong answer. The obvious answer is that whoever sits at meat is the greatest. But Jesus just reverses it. The obvious answer is the wrong answer. It's him that serveth that is the greatest. Service to others is service to Christ. It involves much personal commitment. The narrow way which leads us through suffering and death has service as its point of focus. Service that is compelled and motivated by the love of God is the life of the church and builds up the brotherhood. It builds up the community of God. May this kind of service not be proud, self-righteous, or selfish service. May we serve in the power and love of God for His glory and honor. Serve Christ by serving His people with a single eye, to please Him, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. What amazing words. The end goal is not to spoil God's people, but to strengthen, to build them up, to help them to be rooted and grounded, and build up in the faith, to equip them to do the same for others. Deacons have the honor of modeling for the local church in the lost world God's compassion, God's kindness, God's mercy, and God's love. Deacons are encouraged to help engage the church to compassionately care for the lost and the needy around us. Many times as the world sees a visible display of Christ's love, souls are drawn to Christ. Yeah, we have the hungry, the naked, those that need, that are homebound, meals for the sick, care for the elderly, all kind of help ministry. We have all kind of, it goes on and on. Deacons are to be an example of commitment, unity, and harmony as they serve the body of Christ. The deacons' goals are to effectively and carefully administer mercy. They are to distribute relief. They are to help the poor, the jobless, the sick, the widowed, the elderly, the homeless, the shut-in, the disabled. They comfort, protect, and encourage souls and help to meet physical needs as they are able. Yeah, I think we'll just go on towards closing here. There's more that could be said. Again, my heart is that we allow these teachings to bring the peace of God into our lives and to allow God to lead us as we seek His will here together in the next few days to come. So in closing here, this is a whole message, it should be, but for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree in great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Somehow when we practically serve, it deepens our faith. It's amazing how that works. I'd like to just close with an account here of a distracted farmer. And we share all of these things, the opening qualifications, And also next, the important role of a deacon, so that this isn't our experience as a church. As a church, it's one of my burdens that we don't live life and we end up not getting accomplished the things that God wants us to accomplish. So this little account here is what we don't want to end up doing as a brotherhood. It's titled Distracted Farmer. Distracted Farmer. One morning, Farmer Brown announced to his wife that he was going to plow. He got off to an early start since he had to oil the tractor. However, since he didn't have enough oil, he made a trip to the hardware store to buy more. On the way to the store, he noticed the pigs hadn't been fed, so he went to the corn crib where he found some sacks of feed. The sacks reminded him that the potatoes were sprouting. On his way to the potato shed, he passed a wood pile and remembered that his wife had asked him to bring wood up to the house. By the time the sun went down, the frustrated farmer hadn't even oiled the tractor, much less plowed the field. And that is a burden that I have. As the sun sets on our life, may that not be us. May we have been faithful in furthering the ministry of Christ here on earth. In order to do that, we need deacons. It's an important role in the church. The Lord's blessings teach of you.